The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has a jar of peanut butter, and he's not afraid to use it. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Uh-oh. We've come to that time of the week, folks.
Yes.
When we do Ask Metaxas, people write in, they ask questions, I try to answer them. Albin, I'm going to let you be the voice of the people.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
All right. Here's a first serious one here. What do you think about China's strict COVID policy and the resulting protests?
Well, anybody who's been listening to me on this program knows what I think, but in case you need me to give you the short answer, there's sometimes we see evil. There's no other word, satanic evil. An authoritarian regime behaving in such a way that is as cruel and inhuman, as anything you saw under the Nazis or in the old Soviet Union. And the question is, are you speaking up about it, and are you watching those who are saying nothing? The Biden administration, which is very timid about being proud of American liberty, they blather about democracy. But let me tell you, if we had a Ronald Reagan in the White House, or a Donald Trump in the White House, or probably a George W. Bush in the White House, they would be saying something very strong to support the protesters in China, many of whom are profound Christians in the underground church. So COVID has been used by authoritarians from Michigan to New York to California to China as a way of oppressing people, as a way of crushing liberty, and nothing is more dramatically true than in the case of China. So that's what I think of that.
Oh, boy. Okay. I heard you have a Socrates in the City event with Oz Guinness next week. If you could ask him only one question, what would that question be?
It would be, how do you spell Guinness? Because I see it's misspelled right here. People often spell it with one N. Oh, no. It's with two N's. And Oz, I believe, would answer that question by saying that it's spelled with two N's.
Yeah.
And please don't get that wrong.
Yeah.
No, I'm really looking forward to my conversation with him next week because we're not going to be able to live stream it, I'm sorry to say. But I want to say that I want to ask him a little bit about his life. I've never interviewed him at a Socrates event before. And he has he's had an amazing life. It began in China. He'll be sharing about that. And it's what led him to understand what is freedom, why the American experiment is so beautiful, and why he's written about it so much. So I want to ask him about his life, about his own biography, and how that relates to what he has been writing over these years.
Okay, go to SocratesInTheCity.com and sign up, folks. Okay, do you think America has lost the true meaning of Christmas? What do you think that meaning is?
Okay, I don't know what could be more confusing than we say when we ask these questions, like the true meaning of Christmas. Why does Christmas even have to have a meaning? I mean, here's what Christmas is. It's a celebration of the birth of Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity. So when we talk about the meaning of Christmas, it can kind of become this kind of commercialized, like, you know, everybody's in the Christmas spirit, and I think to that extent, we've lost the true meaning of Christmas in the sense that it becomes attenuated into nothingness, that it's about gift-giving. It's not about gift-giving. We give gifts to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So I think we really have to make an extra effort to focus on the actual meaning of Christmas, and the penumbra is less important.
Okay. All right. So the actual meaning, the birth of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world.
Yeah.
living in Kentucky, and you didn't see this ahead of time, so you might not have been able to do the research. Maybe you know the answer anyway. This person in Kentucky says, I don't know much about the history of New York. Why was Central Park created and who created it?
Well, actually, coincidentally, genuinely, I watched something on PBS, or maybe it was a streaming series on Calvert Vaux, and I'm forgetting the name of the other,
Landscape designer?
It's Calvert and Vaux, in any event, forgive me. But the folks who created Central Park, it is a mind-blowing story because Manhattan, and obviously living here much of my life, I do know the story, the history, but Manhattan, of course, began as a Dutch village, you know, all the way downtown where Wall Street is today, and it grew upwards very, very slowly. And when you get to the middle part of the 19th century, the part of New York where I live, there was nothing. It was farmland. It was a lot of nothing up there. And they brilliantly, with a level of foresight that is almost incomprehensible, said, we're going to create an 843-acre park in the middle of this island so that as the city grows upward, it will grow around the park and the park will not be impinged upon. And it is one of the more amazing things ever done. And I run in Central Park most days or as many days as I can. It's beautiful. It's not crowded. And what most people think is like, oh, it was just kind of like surrounded by a fence and they kind of left it. Exactly the opposite. They created it. Whatever you see there is fake. In other words, the hills, the trees, whatever, none of that was there. They started with a blank, like a moonscape practically, and they created it. So it's worth looking into. We've run out of time, but it is just a gem, and I am thrilled that I live close enough to it to use it.
And the merry-go-round's still there too, I think, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Will you be at TPUSA?
Okay. TPUSA refers to Turning Point USA. There's an event in December, mid-December, and the answer is yes. I will be there, Turning Point USA. It's going to be in Phoenix, and I'm looking forward to it.
Great. I'm trying to find a new church. What should I be looking for?
Wow. Well, it kind of depends on you, but you want to go to a church that is excited about sharing the message of Jesus with the world. If they're just going through the motions and they're not very evangelistic, I don't know how much they believe it themselves. So you want a Bible-believing church. You want a church also that feels that has an outward focused mission, that understands we're not just coming here to kind of do our little rituals, but that this is the central meaning of life, and that the church is far more than a building and a worship service, but that it really shapes your whole life. There's so much more to say on that. That's a great question, but we're almost out of time.
The mayor of New York, Eric Adams, announced that he will be removing mentally ill people from the streets against their will. Living in New York, do you think that this is a good idea?
It's a brilliant idea, and I'm absolutely shocked that the left-leaning, not even slightly great mayor, Eric Adams, is doing something positive along these lines, because typically what's happened in a lot of these blue state, blue cities, is that the homeless population, which is largely addicted people and mentally ill people, rather than being cared for, they're just left to themselves, almost like it's a badge of honor to have these squalid encampments. So if this is true, if Eric Adams is smart enough, wise enough, I should say, to do this, this would be fantastic, because I have seen in my lifetime the ebb and flow of life in New York. And once Giuliani came in and then under Bloomberg, you didn't see this. A lot of these people are, you know, seriously mentally ill. They're not just dangers to themselves, but they're dangers to other people. And in a civil society, you have to deal with that in a crowded city. So if it is true that Mayor Eric Adams is doing this, it will for sure be the first wonderful thing that he has done in his tenure. I would be thrilled if this were true.
Any thoughts on the brand new and I think oddly named Respect for Marriage Act?
Yeah, you can always tell when they give it a title like that, that it's just the opposite of what it is. Look, I believe marriage can only be between a man and a woman. So I will just say that up front. I will also say that at the heart of the issue here is what we call religious liberty. If you do not have a biblical view of marriage, you're fine today. But if you have a biblical view of marriage, because of things like this so-called Respect for Marriage Act, you're going to be persecuted. And so my view of the Respect for Marriage Act is three thumbs down. Hey, we're out of time. We'll be right back. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. It's hard to grasp why anyone would keep voting for record inflation, skyrocketing crime, and an open border. Likewise, why would anyone keep funding the left by sticking with the big carriers? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they want to make it easy for you to try their service. Give them 60 days to show you why I trust them. Right now, when you try Patriot Mobile for 2 months, get your third month free, plus get free activation. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks and use the same towers as all three of the major carriers. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that's fighting to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call their 100% U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. If you're fed up with woke companies that don't care about your values, support a company that does. Make the switch today and get a free month of service plus free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Eric. That's PatriotMobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT. Hey, folks, I continue my conversation with Mark Shaw. The brand new book is Fighting for Justice, The Improbable Journey to Exposing Cover-Ups About the JFK Assassination and the Deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. If somebody is interested in this subject, Mark, maybe the best place to start is not this book. I mean, I shouldn't say that because the book is just out, and as an author, it really is a way into everything. Your previous books, you deal with these subjects. Why don't we just briefly go over some of these previous books and the thesis of each of them, just so people are clear as they track this?
Yeah, I want to first say that, you know, this is a sad, sad story because JFK should have never died. Marilyn Monroe shouldn't have died at a young age. Dorothy Kilgallen should not have died at an early age. That should have never happened. And yet the consequences of what the Kennedys did led to those deaths. I get a chill when I say that. It's just so sad because think about if they would have lived, would have happened?
The only thing, I mean, when I was reading the book, I was thinking it's sad that Marilyn Monroe died. It's sad particularly that Dorothy Kilgallen died. It's less sad that JFK died because when you look at his life, the depravity is astonishing. It is absolutely astonishing. The level of entitlement, the idea that his father and his family had extraordinary power and that they used it to rig an election, which is an abomination in the United States of America. You know, all crime is wrong, but to steal an election is really, really dirty. And then, of course, as a young man married to a beautiful woman, he is bringing prostitutes into the White House. It's just so dark and so awful. So it seems a tragic tale, you know, whether he's assassinated or not. It's just so filthy.
Well, it all comes around, you know, in life. And I have new information in Fighting for Justice. JFK is a senator. He's obviously having sex with his secretary, and it's in a building in Georgetown. And he goes over there, and there's a woman who lives next door, and she decides to go ahead and let him know that she's going to tell the media about it. He confronts her on the street the next day with his finger in her nose. You go ahead and you do that, you'll never work in this country again. Okay? That's what kind of a person he was. And then Joe Kennedy just covers all this up. I mean, JFK was married before he married Jackie, and Joe covered that up. That was his greatest asset.
That's the least. It's almost funny. That seems like a charming thing. You know, bigamy is a charming step up for JFK, who, his father and his brothers, was a womanizer that, you know, makes Donald Trump look like a choir boy. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing. I've never seen anything. It really is. And of course, in that world, hanging out with folks like Frank Sinatra, you know, this was the cool thing. But it's pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty to read about.
To answer your question, it's been an amazing, improbable journey, because I started with Belli. I practiced law with him. I didn't know he was involved with the mafia. So in Melvin Belli, King of the Courtroom, I gave the reader that. Then I found Dorothy, okay? So then in The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, this incredible woman. I just, in this book, it talks about her not only interviewing the queen when she was the coronation of the queen, but then she got to go to where she was having her first permanent. I mean,
her
Dorothy
first,
was
a lot of people aren't going to know what that means. A hair treatment,
hair,
ladies and gentlemen.
Her hair done, yeah.
Her getting her hair done, and this was a big scoop for Dorothy. It's kind of hilarious.
Oh, my God, she was just amazing. She had the best sources. She could be trusted. She was a woman of integrity, all of that. So I had that. Then I was done. Then denial of justice, the Ruby trial transcripts, because Dorothy was in the front row at the Ruby trial. She heard the testimony, and she sees that, and then she knows when she gets the Warren Commission Ruby testimony, they don't jive. He's lying about everything. He just didn't happen to go into the basement of the Dallas Police Department and kill Oswald. The police helped him. There's I have it in there that, you know, he said he would be there and all of that. So now I'm done again. But then all these people around the world say, well, Mark, there must be a connection between Marilyn Monroe's death and Dorothy Kilgallen's. And I said, no, there's not. Then I found a picture of them together at 20th Century Fox for a movie that Marilyn was doing. And right before Marilyn dies, Dorothy writes this column. Marilyn's doing great. She's got a new romantic interest. She has Broadway offers. The woman isn't going to commit suicide.
You make a very clear case in the book that there's no way she committed suicide. The day before she dies, she goes shopping with her housekeeper for a piece of furniture. Everything's looking up. It's preposterous that she would have killed herself. And then you talk about, and it's just gruesome, about how the mafia kills her. It's gruesome stuff. It's all gruesome stuff.
Well, it's Bobby Kennedy who's responsible, in my opinion.
Okay, so that's anyway. That's even more astonishing. The man who many think of as a crusader for justice, the darling of the anti-war left, that he would participate in something this amazingly evil, and that he was in L.A. when she was killed. I don't know why he felt he had to oversee this at close quarters, but it's hard. It's hard to take this in.
Well, he had so much to lose. If Bobby Kennedy would have been prosecuted for Marilyn's death based on the evidence that is so evident in terms of what went on there, and I have a new chronicle, a new way of how Bobby Kennedy used some of his minions to go to Marilyn's home and inject her with some of the barbiturates were found in her system and things like that. But he's saying to himself, you know, I can't let her go to the media, which she was going to do, as we have in a CIA document, with the fact that we had a torrid romance, which it talks about in there, and that she's going to go to the media and tell the media that JFK, whether it was pillow talk or not when he was with her, has a plan to kill Castro. Well, she was a blabbermouth. Dorothy was a blabbermouth right before she died. I'm going to solve the JFK assassination and all of that. And you can't do that with people who are going to lose every bit of power that they have.
Well, Johnny Russo said on this program he was there at this California-Nevada border resort when Marilyn Monroe kind of flipped out and said, I'm gonna expose everything. And he knew that she had signed her own death warrant when she did that. And he was somebody who would know. It's one thing, though, you know, for the mafia to kill people. That's what they do. But when you think about people in positions of elected power, attorneys general, when you think of them doing this kind of thing, when you think of somebody like J. Edgar Hoover doing this kind of thing, it's kind of a wake-up call for us as Americans that there are people who think that they're above the law, they're above standard morality, and they have been doing these kinds of things. It's corruption, it's wicked. Yeah. And to read about it, you know, as I said, it's tough. It makes for tough reading.
Well, I found a 1973 book. You want to go back to find out about the real Kennedys. I found a book called The Kennedy Neurosis, a 1973 book. I like to find books that are near the time things happen. And it talks about how these Kennedy men had neuroses, and it caused them to be sexual predators and things like that. But that's not the worst part of the book. The worst part of the book, and it was also in Rose, which is a biography of Rose Kennedy, how they treated the women in their life. Joe Kennedy brought Gloria Swanson to their Massachusetts home when his wife was there. When they went to Europe on a ship, he had Gloria Swanson, his mistress, on one end of the ship and Rose Kennedy on the other. They would bring these prostitutes and these women to family gatherings. I mean, it so inflamed one of the Kennedy sisters that they finally just decided that they couldn't take it anymore. I mean, that shows you the morality there. And then that just connects on to the way that, you know, no morality just infects the Kennedy family. Joe has a stroke and dies. JFK is assassinated. Bobby Kennedy is assassinated. Did they get what they deserved? So many people have said absolutely.
Well, people have talked about the Kennedy curse, whatever that means. I don't know what it means. But we know that there are, that there are mysteries here. I mean, it's very, very, very strange when you think of all this. I think it's generous, the 1973 book, to refer to this as a neuroses. I mean, you know, pure selfishness is not necessarily a neuroses. It's just the sin nature.
Ego.
And if you give into it, and they gave into it with their father modeling this behavior over the course of decades. And it's just it's a cautionary tale for anybody interested in, you know, what power can do, how power can corrupt people. It's the stuff of nightmares when you think about it. We're talking to Mark Shaw. We'll be back. The new book, Fighting for Justice.
I took a chance and changed you in your life.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. As hard as it may be for us to comprehend here in America, there are people in other parts of the world whose very lives are being threatened simply for believing in Jesus. In fact, people are being enslaved for their faith. Some have been in bondage for 25 or 30 years. If you've been listening for any period of time, you know I'm passionate about the work of Christian Solidarity International, a ministry that sets these captives free. There are hundreds of thousands persecuted and enslaved in the Middle East. Together, we can literally buy their freedom and save the lives of some precious brothers and sisters this Christmas, giving them the joy and hope that we celebrate freely. For only $250, you can provide life-saving aid this Christmas. You can buy a believer's freedom and provide them with much-needed food, a goat, and other goods necessary for their very survival. These are brothers and sisters who are enslaved and fearing for their lives. Just $250. Maybe you can give more. Maybe a portion. Every gift helps. Imagine buying a fellow believer's freedom. Call 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. Christian Solidarity, providing life-saving resources for persecuted Christians for almost 40 years. 888-253-3522 or metaxastalk.com and click on the Christian Solidarity banner. Give someone the gift of their freedom for Christmas. Thank you.
Folks, welcome back. Talking to Mark Shaw. Final segment for today. Mark, I hope we can just have you back because this is so rich. But you wanted in our final segment to connect Joe Kennedy, the ersatz patriarch, to J. Edgar Hoover. Go ahead.
Well, all of this is my contribution to history. You know, it all landed in my lap somewhere. And so I feel like it's my duty to let people know about this. They can make up their own minds. I write Stop and Think books. But one of the most miraculous things that I found, my wife said I screamed when I came across this, from the National Archives, a document that showed at one point Joe Kennedy wrote a really nice letter to J. Edgar Hoover, praising him up and down about everything he was doing and everything. And then, if you can believe this, said, you know, Mr. Hoover, FBI Director Hoover, you should run for president. And if you do, I will back you financially. That just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Here, you know, it's just corrupt. It's just corrupt stuff. And it bothers the conscience that these kind
of
things.
Well, listen, this is the point, and it relates us to where we are today. When you wonder how it is that the Clintons and the Bidens can be so corrupt, we have to understand, folks, this is human nature. Apart from God, this is what power does to people. It is evil. It hurts people. And when you think about J. Edgar Hoover, I mean, the idea that this man had the power that he did as the director of the FBI for decades, folks, unelected for decades, tremendous power to look into people's lives. And he himself is a tremendously mysterious, creepy figure. It seems very clear that he was homosexual, that he was high. I mean, it wasn't clear to me if that can be proved, but it seems almost impossible that it wasn't the case based on what we know.
Well, and he hid it all. You know, he just covered all of it up. You know, when you talk about the corruption today, though, it's very difficult to tell in so many ways with who's corrupt and who's not, because, you know, we're in a news cycle that's 24 hours now. It was meant to, it was told to me the other day, you know, look back when and I show my age here, but you used to have an hour's worth of news a day at 5 o'clock for dinner. So, you know, labeling corruption with politicians today, I mean, you can go down through the whole list. And you can do it ever since 1964, whatever. Look, Biden won't release the documents, the JFK documents. Nixon didn't. Trump didn't. Nobody will give us the documents. That's corruption. What are they hiding? What are they doing there? Trust in government is at a complete low, and that's really unfortunate that we're at that stage of existence.
Well,
in the
unless we acknowledge it, we can't deal with it. And I think we are beginning to acknowledge it and beginning to say that this was not the founders' vision. This is not our Constitution. This is not who we are as a people. We've got to recognize this. We've got to drain the proverbial swamp. We've got to throw people out who are in love with their own power and who don't understand that they're there to serve. But it really is, you know, looking at the story of J. Edgar Hoover, the idea that this was tolerated, that someone would create this huge fiefdom for himself from which, you know, it's kind of like Robert Moses here in New York. You think, my goodness, these are nefarious figures who they got way more power than you're supposed to be able to have in a constitutional republic like the United States.
Well, Hoover had a you know, his name's on the FBI building, of all things. But he had this little notebook, big notebook, with dirt on everybody. I mean, he was so smart to, yeah, so how he kept his position, Eric, all those years. I mean, the Kennedys hated him. You know, Morris Wolf, remember, that I talked about, who gave me the Senator Cooper, you know, they know about Oswald, but they know about Ruby, but no, and his connection to organized crime. They say they're doing this for God and country with regard to the Oswald theory, all of those kind of things, the rationalizations and everything like that. But as Cooper told me, the Kennedys didn't even trust themselves to talk on the telephone between the Justice Department and the White House. So they used this incredibly, honest man, Morris Wolf, to ride his bicycle between the White House and the Justice Department with secret messages between the two Kennedys. That's how bad it was back then with J. Edgar Hoover. You know, they couldn't trust him. Nobody could trust him. But they all knew that he had the dirt on them, and they couldn't fire the guy.
Everybody had dirt on everybody. It's just it's horrific. Frank Sinatra comes out like a real bum in this book, I have to say.
Two chapters, and the worst thing that ever happened to Marilyn Monroe was that Sinatra introduced her to the Kennedys, and it was all downhill from there in terms of what happened to her. That was kind of signing her death warrant, but what a sleazy guy, and all his connections to the mafia. You know, he's the one that Joe Kennedy went to and asked him to get in touch with Giancana and Marcello and those guys. So he's implicated in all of that, the stream of that leads to JFK's death as well. But I have very, very little respect. Every time I hear a Frank Sinatra song, I want to throw up.
Well, I have to say, when just reading what you write in the book, I mean, I knew much of this, but it is, it's just awful for anybody who has any innocence, any sense of right and wrong. When you read about these folks, it's a wake-up call. It's scandalous. It's shocking. But it's important we face the truth. And Mark, since we're out of time, let me simply say thank you for your role in this. I assume we'll talk more, but just really grateful for your efforts in all of these books. Thank you so much.
That means a lot to me. You're a man of the truth, Eric, so thank you.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
Hey, folks, you've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. So right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel set, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December 25th will have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98. Believe me when I say you'll get a great night's sleep. Their six-piece towel set is made with USA cotton. It comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Typically retails at $89.98, now just $39.98 with promo code ERIC.
Limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use promo code ERIC. These offers will not last long. They're known to sell quickly, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Welcome back. Talking to Kevin McCullough about the news of the day. Now, actually, Kevin, part of the news of the day is that as of, I guess, yesterday, we on this program launched a campaign for this month to free slaves. This sounds like it's a metaphor, but we mean this literally, folks, which is why I use the word literally carefully. We're not talking about people who are enslaved in quotes. We're talking about people who are actually being enslaved in the southern Sudan. And if you go to metaxastalk.com and click on the banner, you'll see it right at the top. You can help free them because CSI, Christian Solidarity International, have been involved in this for decades. They know they have relationships there. They know what to do, what can be done. So this is an amazing opportunity. And Kevin, because we've just begun this this month, I thought it would be good to get you to talk about it because you're familiar with CSI and with how they do what they do.
Yeah, well, I've had the great humbling honor to be a spokesperson for them for the last 10 years or so. And one of the things that I cannot get away from, and for the people that are watching your show on Rumble or wherever you post it, I want you to see the picture of this lady's face that I'm holding up to the camera right there. You can't see it very much, but I think you can at least get a glimpse of the smile. This is a woman by the name of Achoke, and her story is very similar to many of the stories that you will hear about and you will read about in the work of CSI. But when she was taken into slavery, and a lot of this happened during the Sudan Civil War, which was, I think, 1995. When the Arabs from the northern section of what was then the United Sudan would travel down into the southern regions where the Christians were, they would ransack villages. They would rampage through towns. They would kill lots of the men and boys. They would grab and take captive the women and children and begin marching them towards the north. These were the spoils of war. This is what's happened since the beginning of time. But when they were put into slavery, they were treated completely inhumane. And I could detail some of what they've gone through. Achoke, the ladies whose picture I just showed you, she was systematically abused from the moment she was taken into captivity as a 9-year-old girl. And just imagine the trauma, the unsettledness of your psyche, of the world and life you know. You're helping your mom pick crops and make dinner one day, and the next thing you know, you're being systematically raped by your captors multiple times in just your trip to the north. When you get to where you're going, you're sold to the slave master from the raiders. The slave master then rapes you systematically, regularly, may cause you to have two or three children, regularly let his sons or his business associates have their way with you as well. And over time, as a person, you become very desensitized and you withdraw within yourself. And there's almost an otherworldliness that you're kind of living in because it's just a protection mechanism for all the pain that you're experiencing. But then you add on top of that, every day you're told to go and to do all of the laundry, to do all of the chores, to do all of the stuff without really being fed. You're fed scraps that fall off the table from the family. The wives of the slave masters hate you because you represent a lack of sexual identity with them. And if you have kids, they really hate you. Your children are allowed to be with you until they are weaned. And once they are weaned, they are taken from you because obviously the slave master believes they are his. And when you go through all of these things, you're having constantly verbal abuse leveled your way. They call them a name that we can't even translate in American media because it's so vulgar. The meaning of it is so vulgar. It wouldn't be allowed to be on broadcast radio or television. So this is how they are treated for year after year after year, an unrelenting wave of just constant abuse. Many of these girls were Christians, raised in Christian homes. When they find themselves in these situations, the Arab master says, you have to become a Muslim woman now. And in order to be a good Muslim woman, you have to go down to the creek. Here's a rusted lid from a tin can. You have to cut out the piece of your sexual organ that gives you pleasure. And you're not allowed to have pleasure in your sexual activity for the rest of your life. There's no sterilization, sterile facilities. There's no clean instruments. None of this is done. Many of the girls have gotten very bad infections and died from this procedure. But you're lucky enough, a choke is, to survive and then to carry on with your life there in those conditions as such that it is for a few more years. Your kids are taken away from you. Then you hear about a retriever, somebody called a retriever, not a raider, but a retriever. And these are Arabs that are working with the Christians in the South. And they come up and they find the slaves and they ask, are you a slave? Or do you want to go home? And if they find them, they enter into a negotiation in which they earn their liberation and they are returned to home. They are given everything they need to start a life all over again called a bag of hope. And when they are returned to their home village or where they're from, the celebration and the explosion of happiness and joy is as euphoric in its intensity as the suffering has been in what they have experienced. It doesn't last as long, but it certainly is just as intense because it's like the prodigal son, only wasn't a prodigal that left. They were taken against their will, and the homecoming is that much greater. When you explain all of this to people, Eric, and you say you can take a woman who's living in that kind of existence of death and you can take her to life back home with everything she needs to start her life on her own for $250, one-time gift in this day and age. And let me tell you everything that's in the bag of hope. It's a year's worth of food. It's a year's worth of seed to plant the next year's food. It's utensils to garden, fish, and cook with. It's all of the blankets and tarps that you need to have a sleeping structure. It's a she-goat that will allow you to have a micro enterprise to breed more goats and to sell them and find a way to live. But all of that in your gift for $250.
Kevin,
good.
I want to keep you on to continue talking, but folks, you've heard this. It is our honor to participate in this. It is an honor and a privilege that we get to participate. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner MetaxasTalk.com. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. We're talking to our friend Kevin McCullough, and what we're talking about, you talk about what's the news of the day. The news of the day is that people are being monstrously enslaved this minute while we're having these conversations. The news of the day is also that there's something we can do about it. Kevin, when you shared the evil, the unbelievable evil that men and women are suffering in southern Sudan, where monstrous people are allowed to persecute, torture, and slave rape, it's hard for us to take it in. And I think that we in the West, who are so blessed and so privileged, we cannot fathom that this evil is happening. While we have our little battles over this or that, this is going on in the world, folks. This is not history. This is happening now, right now. And we have the tremendous privilege. It is a privilege to do something about it, even to hear the story, to know how grateful we are, or I'm sorry, to know how blessed we are, so that we can have gratitude to God that we are not suffering those things, and that because of our freedom and because of our largesse, because of our abilities, our relative wealth, we can actually be a part of redeeming what has been broken, destroyed. I want to remind people, MetaxasTalk.com is the website, MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see at the top, there's a banner and there's a phone number, which I will give just because some people would prefer to call. Folks, you've got to do this. You have to do it. This Christmas season, you've got to participate in this to some extent, whatever you can do. The number is 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. Kevin, you said that $250, if somebody gives that, of course, this is tax deductible. No. But if you give that amount to CSI, you are single-handedly not only freeing someone from these satanic conditions, but you're also enabling them to get started in a future in freedom. You just detailed what they get. They don't just get taken out.
No, they get everything they need to start their life over again. And I showed you the picture of a choke for a reason. She has a huge smile on her face. And for someone who has gone through 15 or 16 or 17 years of ritual abuse, to the point where you become numb, you withdraw into yourself, you don't even really understand what's going on around you, for them to come out of that and to have a smile like that and to express thanksgiving to God, to reuse their Christian name again. There is so much that they have to be thankful for. And yet, Eric, almost every single one of them that comes out as they are talking to the CSI liberators at the liberation camp on the border of the two Sudans, they say the same thing again and again and again. Thank you, God, for setting me free. Thank you to the Christians in America who got me free. Now, please don't forget the ones that are still there. And at the peak of slavery, there were about 185,000 to CSI's credit, and people listening to your show and mine and others over the last number of years, we have helped liberate more than 135,000 of those people. But that leaves somewhere in the neighborhood of about 45,000 slaves and children to go, and they need our help.
We're out of time. Folks, you've just got to participate in this. You give what you can by the grace of God. Evil is real. We need to face it, and we need to do what we can. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner. Tell your friends. This is an amazing thing that we get to do. Kevin McCullough, thank you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.